Kum lernen a blat gemara, we're daf mem dalad, amet aleph, the Mishnah. We're continuing to learn the laws of mukta. Now we're going to talk about two other kinds of mukta. One is called mukta machmas, mius, that it's so mius, that it's so despicable, that nobody's repugnant, that nobody is going to touch it. So beginning of Shabbos, he had no intention of using it at all. It's called mukta machmas mius, which we learned before, Rav Yehuda holds it's mukta, and Rav Shimon holds it's not mukta. We're going to introduce also Rav Meir. And then there's also a mukta machmas iser. Let's say you lit candles, then the candles, the collaborate becomes mukta the whole Shabbos because it was mukta machmas iser. Because of the iser, you're not allowed to move it because of the candles. And which Rabbi Yehuda again holds as mukta, Rabbi Shimon holds as na mukta. And what Rabbi Shimon does agree with is that maybe you shouldn't move candles while it's burning because you might extinguish it. You know, you might tilt the oil a little bit and increase the fire, decrease the fire. So that's a gzeda, nothing to do with mukta. So we will continue. Says the Mishnah, Metal Kli Ner Chadash, a new candelabra that was never used before, a new leichter, you're allowed to move around because it's not mukta or anything else. I will lay yoshem, but not an old one because it's mias already, and it's mukta machmas mias. Rav Shimon says, kolonet is metal kli. There's no such thing as mukta machmas mias, so you can move any candle you want. Chut min haned hadoilik b'Shabbos, but a burning candle on Shabbos you cannot move because of the reason that you might extinguish it. Says the Gemara, we actually learned a couple of more details. Tell Rabbi Lehren, metalkli nechadish, you're allowed to move a new candelabra, Rabbi Lehren Yoshem, not an old one, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, because he believes in mukta machmas mias. Rabbi Meir, I'm a kol haned, is metalkli nechadish, said, I don't agree with mukta machmas mias, but I do believe in mukta machmas isa. So he says, chutzman haned, should lit by Shabbos, a candelabra is lit on Shabbos, then even after the fire was extinguished, you're not allowed to move the leichter, because it is mukta. Comes along, and that is why, because of mukta machmas iser. Rab Shimon says, no, I don't believe in mukta machmas mias. I don't believe in mukta machmas iser. But chutz min haner hadoyle b'Shabbos. But if it's while it's burning on Shabbos, you cannot move it around while it's burning. Why? Because you might extinguish the fire. What about kofer? According to Rab Shimon, but once the licht ended burning, then mutter l'talkla. There's no problem moving it around. Because he doesn't believe in mukta, and there's no chash anymore that you'll extinguish the fire. Then he continues, at the moment we're not sure who's saying the following words. But at the moment, let's say, I'm assuming it's Rav Shimon, because it follows what he originally said. He says, I will kois, but a large cup. I have the kaida and a large plate. The ashrashis and a large glass, like a lump or something. A large glass thing that you burn, what do you call it? Cold already. So you have a fire, a candle burning in this large glass thing. Lo yazizam emekaimam. Those things you shouldn't move. Even once the fire was extinguished, I don't want you to move them. Now, why should kais, kaira, and asoshes be any different? We'll have to see later. Like a lantern. We'll have to see later. However, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, argues with his father, and he says that mistapek min haned hakover. He says you're allowed to take the oil from the extinguished fire, and once it's extinguished already, so while the oil is dripping, you're allowed to benefit from that oil. And he's saying here that if even while the candle is burning, if oil is dripping out, you're allowed to use the oil. And if once the fire is being extinguished, there's no problem anymore. Which his father didn't go so far to say, and we'll soon see what the machlekes is between Rabbi Lozer and his father. Amar Rabbi Zalabaya. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Sovlek, Rabbi Bechadi agrees with his father, and one thing, as we'll see, doesn't believe in mukta, but Rabbi Bechadi argues in another matter. Sovlek, Rabbi Bechadi, less in mukta. He doesn't believe, just like his father doesn't believe in mukta machmas iser, so too he doesn't believe in mukta machmas iser. So once the candle is extinguished, there's no mukta anymore. And he argues with his father because he holds that even while the fire was burning, once it's really dimming and it's dying out, you can benefit from the oil. His father holds cover in le cover loy. Only once the fire is extinguished, we say you can move it around. There's no chash anymore. You can extinguish the fire. And so when does he say you're allowed to benefit from the oil? Only once the fire is out. But if it lay cover loy, but if it wasn't extinguished, he doesn't allow you. The eagles of it, he holds. Even it wasn't extinguished already, if it's dying out already, then you can use some of the excess oil. Now, so we ask a question. The next part is, but these things, a cup, these large, a lantern and so on, you're not allowed to use it even after the fire went out. Why not? If there's no mukta, What's the problem? Maishnahani, why should these be any different? Amarul Ula says, Sefer Oshon L'Rav Yehuda. As odd as it is, this part, this section here, which is written right after Rav Shimon, wasn't authored by Rav Shimon. It goes back to Rav Yehuda, who believes in Muktzah, that you're not allowed to move the candelabra because Muktzah Machmas Isur or Muktzah Machmas Mius. And he's saying also these large things you're not allowed to move. Sounds very odd because it says Aval. Aval means but, as if you're drawing a contrast. If it's Rav Yehuda, it's not a contrast, it's just a sequence. Maskel Mazutra Ihochi Ma Aval, ring but. L'chayda, that Aval means even though before it was permitted, this is forbidden. But who said, Rabbi Yehuda never said it's permitted. Any candelabra is also. Ela Mazutra, so we'll go back to the question, who said these words, Kais and Kaira and Ashosh? He's La'olam Rab Shimon, and really it's Rab Shimon. Ah, if Rab Shimon hears a little muktzah, so why in the case of a lantern and the large glass and so on, is it also? The chi ka'ashar Rab Shimon, when does Rab Shimon mate b'ner zut? When does Rab Shimon say, once you finish the candelabra, the fire is out? You can use the excess oil and all that to buy a small candle, because you know it only burned for a couple of hours, so you anticipated that the fire eventually will go out, and you'll benefit from the oil. But b'ner zut, a small candle, the daitala, because you thought about it, and you knew you'll have excess oil, and you'll use it on Shabbos. When you have a lantern, it can burn for a couple of days. Then you had no anticipation of using the oil at all, so you're completely removed from your mind. Then Lloyd, Rav Shimon has made it that even if the fire went out in the morning, you cannot use the oil because you have completely removed it from your mind to use it on that Shabbos. So this is a chiddush. Even Rav Shimon doesn't believe in muktzah, but this, in case, he does. Because he definitely thought you're not going to have it, be able to use it on Shabbos. Because it's a large lantern, and it'll burn for a long time. Says the Gemara, about Tanya will end in another brayse. Clearly, in Rav Shimon, so you're telling me Rav Shimon's made the large things that you didn't anticipate to be able to use on Shabbos, a large lantern or something. You cannot use that oil even though the fire burnt out. So let me ask a question. Says the brayse, Moysir Hashem and Shemanesh Bekaida, any leftover oil in the candle, Ubekaida. Kaida is a large plate, so that's probably something that's going to burn the entire Shabbos. Also, it is forbidden. And Rav Shimon Matir, Rav Shimon clearly said that even a lantern or even a kite, a large plate, you can use the excess oil once the fire is out. And you just said a minute ago that he was the one who said, I will never Hashem and never kite in Ashoshis. Says the Gemara, kaida can be any size. So you have to look at the context. In this braisa, we're comparing a kaida to a neir. A neir is small, so obviously we're talking about a small plate. So therefore, you could use that oil. We're talking about a kaida which is similar to a lantern. So we're talking about a very large one. And a very large one, you had no anticipation of using on Shabbos, therefore it's forbidden. Hasam kaida dumi de neir. Over here, kaida dumi de kais. Over here, we're talking about a kaida similar to a kais, which is very large. And that's what Shimon says you cannot use. Come to the Gemara, new denomin of Zed. Zed says, Pamut, if you have a candelabrum, but it's not made out of clay, which is mias, and therefore we introduce the idea of muktzah machas mias. Here we are talking about made out of metal, so it's actually quite nice. Is a pamut hidliku by b'Shabbos, if you lit it for Shabbos. Is l'divad hamate, the one who says, the mayor says, I don't believe in muktzah machas mias, but in this case, he cannot use it, that even after the fire went out, you cannot use it on Shabbos. This is not a case of muktzah machas mias, this is a case of muktzah machas isa, because at the beginning of Shabbos, you couldn't move it, there was a fire burning there. So the rest of Shabbos is also, that's called muktzah machas isa, also. But l'divad ha'oise, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there's a thing called muktzah machas mias, so if it's an ugly made out of cheres, you cannot move the light for the whole time on Shabbos, because mias. But if you lit it on Shabbos, if it's in the case of metal, which is not mias, it's only iser, after the fire is over, he holds you allowed to move it, mutter. So Rabbi Yehuda would hold that muktzah machmas iser is permitted. He suddenly relaxed the laws of muktzah when it comes to iser. And the Gemara is not happy with that. Remember, you want to say that Yehuda muktzah machmas mias easily. He only believes in muktzah machmas mias in the case of the candle made out of clay. But muktzah machmas isa lesley. But muktzah when it comes out of isa, he doesn't agree with. But Tanya, in the clay, but I said Yehuda says kol haneder shel machmas, all the candle made out of metal, metalkin, you're allowed to move about. Chutz min haneder shel liquid Shabbos, except the candle that was lit in Shabbos. So he says over here, he's talking about metal ones, but there's no mias, and yet he says it was lit in Shabbos, it's Issa, you're not allowed to. So Yehuda definitely, he is the author, or he's the father of the opinion of that all muktzahs are forbidden. Surely he holds a muktzah machmas Issa is Asr. So what did he mean, the divrei oisid, in this case, is matter? Eli, you're right, Rav Zeyda never said that. We misunderstood Rav Zeyda. Eli, eat what hoch eat, but this is what Rav Zeyda meant to say. Amr Rav Zeyda, pumble, the candelabra, shidliku, olav, b'shabi, lit for Shabbos, divrei hakol osir, everyone knows osir. Why? Because muktzah machmas isa. When we say everyone, we mean Rabbi Yehuda Rameh, not talking about Rabbi Shimon. However, but if he didn't light it, so therefore there's no isid here, and there's no mias either. Then even hakol mutter. Everyone holds that is mutter. Everyone holds mutter. Says Gemara Vayter. Omer Rabbi Yehuda the Amoraim said. Omer Rav, name of Rav, mita. If you have, let's say, a bed, sheyichta lemois, that you set it aside, that this bed is where you're going to place all your money. In that case, so that's called hazmona. You set it aside, you prepare it for money. And right now the Gemara thinks it's talking about, even though it's a hazmona milsa, just setting it aside is enough to say that this bed is muksa, you have no idea, anticipation to use it for anything mutter, only to put money on it. Also, you're not allowed to move the bed at all, because the bed is muksa. Ask the Gemara a question. Rav Nachman asked a question. Metalklin ner chadash. It says in our mission here, you're allowed to move a brand new candle made out of clay. Candles made out of clay, but not an old one. Why can't you use an old one? Because this candlestick is mias. So why could you use a new one? The chadash is also mias because it was never used yet, and because it was never used yet, therefore, even though what are you going to use it? It's a candelabra. You're only going to use it as a leichter. But the fact is, it was never used. Therefore, hazmon alone doesn't make it muktzah. Now, luchay doesn't make sense. You just said by a bed, which a bed normally you sleep on and do other things. Yet we said if you set it aside just for money, it's already muktzah. So candelabra, which has no other use than to use it for candlesticks, then surely as soon as you set it aside, it should be muktzah. And yet the Mishnah clearly says that a ner chadash is mutter. So they have a problem with your idea that hazmana is sufficient to make a muktzah. A candlestick that was made for. Yet if you didn't light it, you let it move it around. Meet to a bed, the lav lohachavida. It's not made to place money on it. Like koshkin, surely it should be permitted. You're right. There's one more variable we forgot to say. It's not enough that you designated it, but you actually have to put money on it. So once, if you designated it the bed, as we're going to learn, if you designated the bed to be used for money, and then you put money on it, and the money doesn't matter which day of the week you put it on, even on a Tuesday, you put it there. So what you did was you actually now not only set aside the bed for it, but you proved by the manifested by putting the money on the thing. Then that bed now becomes muktzah. You kind of move it around, even though on Shabbos there was no money on it. That bed now becomes a thing of muktzah. Mashengin and Ner Shamatchitz is talking about that even though you set it aside, but you didn't use it. So you need two things. You need to, in other words, if you put money on a bed on Shabbos itself, it only becomes muktzah for the hour or two the money is there. But once the money is no longer there, let's say you did tiltum and atzad, which we said yesterday, according to many, you're allowed to, then there's not a problem. But if you designated the bed and you placed money on it, then it becomes muktzah and you cannot use it at all. Because Rav never passed, like Rav Yudas, we'll soon see. Elah we had before as well. This is how you should learn Rabbi Yehuda. This is what you should learn Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Name Rav, mita a bed sheyichta lemoish. You set it aside for money, and he niachal lemoish, and you put money in it. Also, letalkla, you're not allowed to move it. Loi he niachal lemoish. If you didn't put any money on it, then mutu letalkla. Then you're allowed to move the bed. The obvious question is, if you didn't set it aside, then it's no problem." Says the Gemara. So what happened? You didn't set it aside. If you didn't set it aside, no, like this. If you set the bed aside, if you put money on it, the bed is muktzah. If you did not put money on it, even though you set it aside to put money on it, if you didn't put any money on it, it's like a neir chodesh and there's no problem whatsoever. On Shabbos, you can move it. What about in the following scenario? You did not have in mind at all to use it for money. You didn't have a mind using money. So if you didn't put money on in a Shabbos, there's nothing to talk about. But you did happen to put money on in a Shabbos. Yesh ole amoyz. If there's money sitting on in a Shabbos, also the talk, it's like a bosses, you're not allowed to move the bed, but only as long as the money is there. Ain't ole amoyz. If the money is no longer there, the mutl talk, you're allowed to move it around. Right? Why? Because it wasn't set aside for money. But we have another concept of muktzah, which is that if during Bein HaShemoshes, remember I told you, Rabbi Yehuda believes in muktzah, says that if during Bein HaShemoshes, entire Bein HaShemoshes, the muktzah was there, then even if afterwards the muktzah disappears, you cannot use it in that Shabbos. Migud is katzoy Bein HaShemoshes, it's also the whole Shabbos. So if the money was sitting on the bed, even though you didn't set it aside, during entire Bein HaShemoshes, then you cannot use the bed the rest of the time, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which now follows. But if it was not there during Bein HaShemoshes, somebody put the wallet of the money there later, on Shabbos itself, then as long as the wallet is there, it's usher. Once the wallet fell off, it was removed through a way of, for whatever reason, then the bed becomes mutter again. It wasn't there during Bein HaShemoshes. Because otherwise it's migas katsoy, it becomes usher ho Bein HaShemoshes. So That's all according to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes in Muktzah. Muktzah Machmas Isur. Omar Ula says, Ula, let me ask you a question. Mosiv Rabbi Lozer asked. Now, this is the case of the following. We're talking about the laws of Tumah, and we had it before already. If you have a Keli, and the Keli is portable, has to be metalklin, mole, vereg, has to be portable, that even when the Keli is full, it's transportable, then it'd be kabul tumah. But if it's too big, it's not transportable. Even though when it's empty, it is transportable, but when it's full, it's not. Then it becomes like mechuba lekarkas, not mekabel tumah. And we learned before, if you remember, that if it's lach, if it's liquid, 40 saw. And if it's dry, gadush, then it's 60 saw, 2 kurim. And therefore we learned from there that gadush can take a third more than lach, because you can heap on top with the heap. So what happens? You have a shader, a box. That's 40 saw. So first of all, machlekes Beis Hillel Meshabeh, how do you measure the 40 saw? Is it internal or including the walls? According to Beis Hillel, if you find a bigger keli that has contents of 40 saw and the entire shader fits in there, and the shader is still considered 40 saw because we include the walls, even though internally maybe it can only absorb, only take in 38 saw. Beis Shammai says, no, internally the shader has to take in 40 saw. But let's say the shader is 40 saw, so then it is mekabel, it's no longer mekabel tumah. If it's less than 40 saw, it is mekabel tumah. Our question is the wheels that are attached to the shader. Is it considered part of the shader, and there's a number of nafkaminas we'll see in a minute, or is it not? So we're talking about wheels that are detachable. So we're saying over here, muchni shalah, it's wheels. So we're talking about shader here, which was more like a wagon, which used to transport people. And the muchnishlo, the wheels that are attached to this shader, what's the thing with that wheel? Bizman shehini shmetis, if it's removable, so it's not really an integral part of the wagon in the back, it's separate. So therefore, einu chibulos, it's not considered attached. So for example, if the shader is less than 40 saw, and the shader, let's say, was mekabel tumah, the wheels don't automatically become tummy, because the wheels are not considered part of the wagon. Or the other way around. If the wheels, let's say, were mekabel tumah, and let's say the shader was larger than 40 saw, so therefore the shader is not shayach mekabel tumah, but the wheels, let's say something fell on the wheels and made it tummy, the wheels will become tummy. It's not considered an integral part of the shader. We look at it as two distinct entities. So that's number one. Is ein chibul, it's not considered attached. Number two, the ein nimdedes imah. When we calculate the 40 saw, and according to Hillel, we include the wall, but we don't include the wheels. The wheels are not considered part of it. let's say, you don't say, oh, the wheels make it up to 40 saw, because, you put it inside a bigger keli, and therefore this shader is considered 40 saw. No, it isn't. The wheels are not considered part of the shader. The ein matzelus imo be'oil ames. That means, if the shader, let's say, is 40 saw, which means it's not mekabel tumah, then if you have things above it, it's not, above it, it will protect you from tumah. How will it protect you from tumah? So Rashi brings two ways. But the first way, which is what Rashi says is the main one. We're not talking about inside an oil where there's a corpse lying somewhere there and they all share a common roof. Because then how in the world is the shader going to help you? The shader can be on the bottom and you're on top of the shader can't help you because it's the roof that generates the tumah. Rather, we're talking about in a beis hakvaros, in a cemetery, and there's a grave underneath the shader. Since the shader itself is more than 40 saw, so the shader is not mekabel tumah, and if you happen to be on top of that shader, you will not be mekabel tumah, because the shader obstructs you. And we hold like the mandomba, this opinion is that oil zaruk is still considered an oil, that even though it's portable and it's moving, it still works as an oil. And therefore, it intercepts the tumah. It doesn't work its way upward. But on the other hand, but the wheels do not help. The wheels do not help, and the wheels will become tummy. And the wheels, since the wheels are a separate part of the shader, the wheels, if going atop a cemetery, not 40 saw themselves, will become tummy. And if you happen to be, your hand is sticking out, and it's on top of the wheel, your hand will become tummy, which means you become tummy. Okay, so that's how Rashi learns. And then he says here, Then he continues, the ein goyden, but the section that we want to know is the next part. The wheels, the ein goyden oisa b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to drag these wheels on Shabbos, bizman sheyesh olea mois. If there's money sitting on top of the wheel becomes a buses to that money, and it's mutter. Now, our question is, if there's money on the wheels, pasha, that's how you always put it there. Which means that Bein Hashmashes, it was there. Yet the Braisa seems to say only while the money is there. No, but if Shabbos morning the money falls off, then you're allowed to move the wheels. It's the wheels are not muktzah. But who cares? If the money was there in the beginning, in the onset of Shabbos, that's it. It's also the entire Shabbos, as you just said a minute ago. So our question is, it says if it ain't good to noise of Shabbos, bizman sheyesh olea mois, as long as the money is sitting on the wheel, ha ain't olea mois, if the money right now is not sitting on the wheel, shadi is permitted. I forgot to have a little bit of shmoshes, even though it was there been a shmoshes. Says the Gemara, it's not a problem. Ahud ab shimini, who said that this author is Rabbi Yehuda? You know, mixing things up. We have to know when we learn Gemara and we talk about muktzah, you have to know who's following Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe in any muktzah practically, except muktzah machas gufa, according we'll see later. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds a muktzah. This mission over here is according to Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't believe in muktzah. But as long as the money is sitting on top of it, then it's a bus, he's not allowed to use it. But once the money is off, it's no problem. It doesn't matter if it's the Bein HaShmoshes. It doesn't hold a muktzah. And if Rav, Rabbi Yehuda's feeling, Rav, who made his din, who said his din, that if the money was there, Bein HaShmoshes, you cannot use it the rest of Shabbos, who says the number of this muktzah of entire Shabbos, is following Rabbi Yehuda. And Hachinam Istabra, I'll even prove it to you, the Rav ke Rabbi Yehuda's feeling, the Rav follows Rabbi Yehuda. And we had this a number of times before, where Rav holds Rabbi Yehuda. Where do we say that? The Amar Rav said... So why do we have to prove again Rav or Rabbi Yehuda? Because we're usually when we talk about the Rav follows Rabbi Yehuda, we're talking about the general din of muktzah. Here we're adding another nuance, and that is that even though the muktzah is not here right now, but if the muktzah was there, Bein HaShmoshes, it is also the rest of Shabbos, that we don't know yet that Rav follows Rabbi Yehuda. And we're saying Rav also agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, even in that respect. How do we know that? Omar Rav said, Menichin Neir al Gabi Dekel b'Shabbos. You're allowed to place a candle on or a candle holder with a candle in it on top of a palm tree on Shabbos. Now remember, we don't want people taking things off trees because you're mishtamish b'mechuber. But on Shabbos, you're allowed to because we know you're not going to go anyway to take it off, even when the fire goes out, because once it's muktzah, the beginning of Shabbos, Bein HaShmoshes, you cannot move it the rest of Shabbos. So it's clear that the Rab holds that something is muktzah, Bein HaShmoshes, also the entire Shabbos, as we'll explain in a minute. But on Yom Tov, you cannot place a candle because once it burns out, or even while it's burning, you can go ahead and move it. And it's like Mishtamish ben Mechuber. And we don't want you to use a tree and move a tree on Shabbos. Now, I Amri Bishleim Rav Rabbi Yehuda is related to understand this distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos. If you say Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that what that Muktzah is valid and the Bein HaShmoshes asa the rest of Shabbos, Hainu the Shadi Mishabbos Yom Tov. Now we can understand different Shabbos Yom Tov. And what is that? Then on Shabbos it is osir. Shabbos is not a problem because you're not going to take it anyway from a tree because it's muktzah, so you're allowed to put candles on the tree branches. But Yom Tov, since you're going to move the candle, we're scared you're going to be mishtamish mechuber. Liamrit, if he holds that holds Rav Shimon, if you believe that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Rav holds like Rav Shimon, at least when it comes to Bein HaShmoshes, it doesn't matter. But once the candle is no longer there, you're allowed to move it. Mali Shabbos, Mali Yom Tov, just like Yom Tov was scared you might be mishtamish be'ilan, you'll be using a tree. So too, over here, we should be choshed that you might be Shtamish Bilan on Shabbos. Is a clear ayah that the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, we're not satisfied. The Rav to Rabbi Yehuda Svidla, you want to tell me the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? So explain to me the following discussion. Well, boy, my name is Rav, they asked Rav a question. Are you permitted to move your Chanukah candle on Shabbos? There's a nation called Chavre, who were Rishayim, and they made all kinds of decrees. Can you move it away from where it is? Rashi explains that you remember you have the Gemara said before the Ner Chanukah should be lit outside. We have Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. We're exactly outside. According to Tosfos, the closest to outside. So if you have if your house is fronting the street, it has to be on the door of your house. But if your house is facing a chutz with a number of other houses, then you place the Chanukah lit on the door of the chutz into the street. So this Gemara makes a lot of sense that if you're going to have it down in the street, they'll see you have a Chanukah candles burning. But Rashi holds over there that you always put it on the door of your house. So if you're on the street, then your door of your house is on the street. But if you're in a chutzah, then you put it not on the door of the chutzah, but on the door of your house. So Rashi here says that even though it's in the door of your house, people compare through the door of the chutzah, and they right away see that you're lighting Chanukah candles. So let's say they're coming by and you're scared. So the question is, can you move on a Shabbos and bring it indoors? Can you move it indoors? And he said, clearly, you're allowed to move it indoors. You're allowed to move it indoors. Now, but Pashas, it's not while the candle is burning, because then it's the Isa Deraisa, because you're moving it around, you might extinguish the fire or make the fire bigger. So we're talking about once the candles are burnt out, can you bring it into the house? So we see clearly from here that Rav holds you're allowed to, even though you just said, I'm going to go to Rav Yudit. And if it was burning Ben Hashmashas, it is mukta to the rest of Shabbos. How can he say that you're allowed to? So we answer, Shasat Chak Shaini, what are you comparing? That these are this is a stressful time, this is a sakana, and therefore you're allowed to. And I'll prove it to you. The Omelet of Kahana Rashi L'Rav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi, again, it's difficult to say which Rav Ashi it is, or different Rav Ashi altogether. Some say it's Rav Asi. They said to Rav, Hoch Hilchasa, is that Taka Dalocha, that you don't worry about Muktzebein Hashmashas? Omelu, and he told them, Kedai hu Rab Shimon, the famous words we had in Brachas, that Rab Shimon is worthy, lismach ola b'shas al chak. In times of stress, you can rely on Rab Shimon to bring the candles back inside. So we see clearly from here, it's not a normal circumstance, that's why he's matter. Machlekes, the Rishonim and Tesis himself brings two opinions. When we say shas ha-sakana, what does shas ha-sakana mean? One view is that shas ha-sakana means there's a special decree against Yidden, you're not allowed to have Chanukah licht. And the other opinion is that it's not with Yidden. It's a general decree for everybody, Yidden or Goyim alike. You're not allowed to have any candles burning anywhere other than the church. The Tesis already asks, so what about Shabbos licht? Why are we talking about Chanukah licht? And what about Shabbos licht? You're not allowed to light any candles. So Tesis wants to say that indoors, that maybe indoors you're allowed to because you're saying you're doing it to eat. When you're doing outdoors, it's clearly for a mitzvah. Why are you lighting outdoors? No, you don't benefit from it. Clearly, you're doing it for a mitzvah. And Tesis wants to say, so Lucheda Tesis has a question. If it's a sakana, we learned before already, you bring it indoors. So why are you b'chal lighting outdoors? And if you didn't light outdoors, you're an idiot. So Tesis, so therefore, what's going on? Tesis has one answer. Yes, we're talking about somebody who defied the rules. The din of Malchusa was you shouldn't light anything outdoors. And this person defied the rules, and now he runs to Rav. What should I do? Can I bring it in? They're coming. The police are coming. So that's one case. And even though it was his fault, you know, if we say Shas HaChak, go ahead and bring it in. Or we're talking about that when it says Shas HaKana, you're allowed to bring it in, says Tesis. It's only talking about a sakana that you better not light the Chanukah licht, then we allow you to bring it in. But if it's Shas, if it's a law against everybody, it seems from Tesis here, you shouldn't be bringing it in, which is a Peledik of Tesis. So Tesis seems to be making, in the second answer of Tesis, it seems to be making a difference whether it's, if it's a decree against the mitzvah of Chanukah licht, then sakana, bring it into the house. If it's a decree, no one should light candles at all, because only in the churches should be candles, then it seems that you should light it outside. And you had every right to light outside and not to listen to the rules, because din of the malchus is against our halacha. And now that now you're worried, you get in trouble, and the candles burnt out, can you bring it back in? Is there a problem of muktzah or not? Interesting, because in Sanhedrin, we'll see in Ben Sayer Murder, usually it's the other way around. We say, like, B'shas HaShmad, if it's a law only against the Yidden, then you have to be Moshe Nefesh. We shouldn't allow you to bring it inside. And in fact, in Dav Chav Beis, on the Beis, there, Rashi clearly says that what was the Gzeira, when we say that if there's a Gzeira, you can bring it inside, that it was nothing to do with Chanukah licht, it was a general Gzeira. Because the Bach explains, it could be if it was against Chanukah licht, you're not allowed to bring it into the house. You have to be Moshe Nefesh. And Tesis over there as well brings down this thing over here that is talking about, you know, Gzeira Gzeira. And yet here, Tesis seems to be saying the opposite. Needs to be explained. Anyway,